not far beyond the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you'll work just a few more pages back. And the first verse I will reference will be from the second chapter, so Philippians. Do you realize that the absence of noise is not equal to the presence of peace? The absence of noise is not equal to the presence of peace. This past year, a couple of us had the opportunity, my friend Paul being one of them, to go out to Colorado and enjoy some elk hunting in the mountains of Colorado. In fact, a number of these messages I actually wrote while I was in the mountains in one particular area, Pollock Canyon. I was up there and just viewing the beauty of God's creation. In fact, I had a number of our guys send me pictures I was going to display here this morning for you. And I just realized, you know, taking them on our iPhones and on and magnifying them to this size, you just really kind of lose some of the beauty. I was up there on that mountain, and of course, you're back in and off the main roads at least, and we were way back in, and very often you'd say, wow, this is really peaceful. But there is a difference between having the peace of God in your heart and being in a peaceful area. Boy, as we got up into those canyons and we would look down these ravines, and at one point I was looking across into Utah and the beautiful contour of the mountains there. It's just like a total change between Utah and Colorado and the mountain ranges that they had. And just looking at the splendor, it was well. We really thoroughly enjoyed that. But at the same time, that doesn't give you the kind of peace that God gives you. A lot of times people say, I like to go up into the mountains, it's so peaceful. And there is an absence of noise, but it's not equal to the peace of God in your heart. There really is a difference. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about the difference between the happiness that can be in your life because of events going right and the right people being there and the right things being in your life compared to the peace that God alone can give to you. I think if I were to talk to you about pickup trucks, and I were to talk to you about their Fords and their Chevys and their Dodges and their other things, just wait till the Prius comes out with one. you look at all these pickup trucks, and you talk to one person, you say, hey, one's as good as another, and as long as they get me from point A to point B, right? Well, you talk to others, though, boy, there's a world of difference. You talk to some, and they think, there's not much difference between happiness and what the world offers and peace and what God offers. But I want you to know they stand in stark contrast. Let's pray before we get into the Word of God this morning. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, what a privilege it is of mine to have peace from you that can pass the understanding of the world and very often surpasses my own understanding. Father, as I speak this morning, it could be to a number of people who have happiness. They're enjoying the events of their life. They're enjoying the people that are in their lives. They're enjoying the things maybe they recently got or collected. But when they really lay their head down upon the pillow and really consider their soul, there is no peace. And so, Father, I pray that through this series in the book of Philippians, we will come to an understanding of the mindset we need to have and the types of thinking that needs to proceed from our hearts that will bring forth the peace that could be developed in our Christian lives. Father, my prayer is as well. There may be someone here that has never, they've never turned to Christ. They're attempting to get to you through other means. They're trying church. They're trying to do good. They're trying to make sure they don't do anything that's really wicked in their minds. And they're trying all kinds of things. But Father, they still don't have peace because they're not sure that what all they're doing is really enough. In fact, Father, it doesn't matter what they do, as you know. It can only come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe throughout this series, we will find some come to Christ because they recognize throughout their life they never have had peace. They've only had happiness. And so, Father, I pray that they would see the difference beginning this morning and that there really is a difference between happiness that the world offers and joy and peace that you alone offer. Guide us through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I speak throughout this series of messages, I want you to understand I'm going to refer to happiness as something that the world can get. And typically we are going to get happiness, that sense of pleasure, that sense of delight through things or through people or through events. I'm not downplaying and saying that a Christian should never be happy or a Christian can't enjoy things and people and events either. But what I'm trying to do in this message and throughout this series is really separate from those who are seeking for happiness alone through things, people, and events versus people that are looking for peace and finding peace that alone can be offered in Jesus Christ. So we want to see that there is a difference. Peace is really a rest or a quietness. And as you study throughout the Word of God, it comes from the inside out. Happiness comes from the outside in. We take on those things, we bring those things into our lives, or people come into our lives, and we enjoy them, and from the outside in, we enjoy that. But peace is something that comes from the inside and works outward. It comes from God. And so there really is a difference, and how we come to each of those points are totally different, the one from the other. Now, I want you to also understand that the Word of God says to those who are not in Christ, to those who aren't Christians, to those who would not call themselves a believer or born again, I can use a number of various phrases to explain that, they can't have peace. Listen to what it says. This is from the Word of God itself. I won't have you turn to all these passages, but it says in Isaiah 48, "There is no peace." Now listen to this. "There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked." So who's made that statement? The Lord. It's not me, a Baptist preacher. It's not me, a fundamentalist, saying there is no peace to the wicked. No, the Lord Himself is saying a wicked person will not have peace. Back later on in the book of Isaiah, in the 59th chapter, he says, "The way of peace they know not." So there's a pathway, there's a way to achieving peace. I'll talk about that in just a minute. And he says, the wicked don't know that way. They don't understand that way. And so while they have happiness in their life because of the things that are there or the people that are there, they don't have the peace. And God's Word itself says they won't have it without having Jesus Christ. This is what Jeremiah says about the wicked. He said, "They say peace, peace, when there is no peace." In fact, if you talk to people, we encourage you to talk to people about the Lord. Well, we encourage our people even to come out and knock on doors and go talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I'm okay, it's all good. They say it's all right. They say they have peace. And the reality is there's no peace. There's an emptiness there. In fact, let me give you an illustration of that. What we understand from the Word of God is as God brings forth this world to the consummation of the end or to its final conclusion, there is going to be the rapturing of the church, the catching up. "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord." You know, we often talk about, boy, I can't wait to go to heaven. I get to see this person, that person, the other person that's going. man, I want to see my Lord, my Savior first of all. But anyway, we're going to be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air. You know what the Word of God teaches us in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? He says, then they shall say, peace and safety. But all of a sudden, there's going to be sudden destruction as a woman in travail with a child, and there's no escape. So again, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and this is going to be, he's going to stand up and he's going to announce, hey, it's all right, it's going to be okay. After all the chaos of the great rapture of the church, the Antichrist is going to say, ah, hey, it's all right, everybody's safe, don't worry about it. But all of a sudden, there's going to be sudden destruction. So again, from the world's view, there is no peace. There's an emptiness. I'm not saying there's no happiness. There's not no joy in having things and people and events. But they have no peace. But the Word of God says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Word of God says there's something different to someone who's in Christ, somebody who has a relationship with God. Not merely someone who was just saved years ago, but going their own way. Because I want to say, dear friend, you can be a Christian and still not have peace. Because you're on the wrong pathway. He says in another passage of Scripture, Isaiah again. Isaiah wrote a number of tremendous verses, but in Isaiah chapter 26, he talks about, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. In the Hebrew there, shalom, shalom. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is where? Our mind is stayed, set on God alone. Why is that? Because he trusts in the Lord, because he trusteth in thee. And so again, for the Christian, there can be great peace, but for some Christians, they may not have that great peace. Number one, because they don't love the Word of God. And number two, their mind's not set on Him. So as I preach this series, I'm not just separating the tares from the wheat. I'm not just separating the unbeliever from the Christian and saying the unbeliever only has happiness and the believer only has peace. No, the reality of it is the believer can have peace and happiness. And also the reality is there are some Christians who may not be living in peace. So I want to look at, first of all, and from the second chapter here, I want to look at briefly how there is a difference in the pathway. There is a difference in the way we get to either happiness or peace. And the difference, I'm going to first of all start about those who are not in Christ or those who are living a carnal Christian life. When Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I can't talk to you as spiritual, but I've got to talk to you as babes. He says, because you act carnal. What's he saying? You act like you're unsaved. So the reality of it is, if you are a Christian, but you're acting like, living like you're unsaved, you may be on the wrong pathway as well. Oh, I know, you're going to get to heaven. You're ultimately a child of God and you're secure. You're kept by the power of God. Praise the Lord for that. But in living life, you may be on the wrong pathway, only trying to achieve happiness, only trying to achieve pleasure through earthly things. Look at the second chapter in the 21st verse. Paul is saying, you know what, I really want to have somebody come and minister to you. He was very close to this church of Philippi. And he says, I really want somebody to come and minister to you. I only find one man who is like-minded who can care for your state. And he's talking about Timothy in the 22nd or the 20th verse, excuse me. Then he says, look at verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things that are Christ. He's saying, when I look out there and look for men who would come and minister to you, I only find one that's suitable. For all the others, what are they doing? He says, they're seeking their own. They're not seeking the things that are Christ. So again, they're on a pathway to happiness. They're on a pathway and they're happy. They're kind of like a yo-yo. They're up and down, happy one day, sad the next day, up and down in their lives. And why is that? Because their joy comes from things, people, events. And so if there's no special event that day, if there's no special person in their life that day, if there's no special thing that they're able to enjoy that day, then they're down in the dumps. They need one of those mental holidays as they now give out. You know, they just don't feel like doing anything that day. And the problem is they're on the wrong pathway. They're seeking the things of their own. They're just seeking for things to make them happy. Where for the Christian, it's totally different. The Christian that has peace, we're on a different pathway than that. We're not just looking for things to make us happy. We realize we're not the center of our world. Who is to be in the center of your world? The Lord Jesus Christ. What happens is, if we're not careful as Christians, we can get into the same rut, the same routine, as someone who doesn't know the Lord. Meaning, we're just seeking for things to please uno umro. We see ourselves as number one. And in fact, it bothers us when people aren't pleasing us, when people aren't ministering to us, when things aren't making us happy, when the games aren't going our way. But for a Christian who has peace, God is in the center of their world. And we recognize that peace only comes from God. Again, we went up into the mountains of Colorado, and it wasn't as peaceful as we would have liked because roads were too close to us at many times. But while it wasn't as peaceful as we like, I understand there is something that is peaceful and the idea, boy, this is really peaceful, but there is a difference between being in a peaceful area and having peace in your heart. And the peace that comes into your heart cannot come through anything outside of you. Let me stay a little bit in the illustration of hunting. I apologize if you don't like hunting, but we won't stay there long. Brother Brad was privileged on the first morning to be able to get an elk. Now that brought pleasure to Ad, Brad, and to us as a group. We were excited. But it didn't bring Brad peace. He was pleased, he was happy, he was excited, but that can't bring peace. There really is a difference. Look here at Philippians again. Let's go back and get into the Word of God, because you don't want to just know what I think about things. You want to know what the Word of God says. By the way, the Bible talks about there's pleasure in sin for how long? It talks about a season. So even sin can bring pleasure, but it's not long lasting. Why? Because there is no peace in it. So Moses made a choice. By the way, you're talking about a passage found in Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith. And Moses actually made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are for a season. So I'll take it that even sin can bring you pleasure, but it is very short-lived. In fact, the moment the pleasure's over, you recognize there is no peace. Look here in Philippians, as I stated, we're heading there. And look at chapter 1 for a moment. Chapter 1, just look at verse 2. I'm going to keep this simplistic and keep it moving forward. Grace be unto you and peace. Where's that from? From God our Father, and from who? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So here he is. Here is the pathway you need to be on, is a pathway that's going to connect you to God. It's going to connect you to Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking for peace in any other place, you're looking in the wrong place. He says, grace and peace be unto you. And here's where that comes from. Grace. It can only come to you from God. True grace. And peace, it can only come from God our Father and from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to the fourth chapter. Let's look at two more verses there. Because I want you to understand, dear friend, to have happiness, you just need to be connected to something in this world. A person, a thing, an event. To have peace, you have to be connected with God. The happiness comes from the outside in. The peace comes from the inside out. You know, Cain, he slew his brother. His brother's name was Abel. Well, he didn't have peace. He probably initially was happy that he got rid of his brother. But when he was confronted by God, his countenance was fallen. Why? Because there wasn't any peace in his heart. So again, we have to recognize the source, the pathway you have to be on is having a right relationship with God. This is why it's possible for you to be sitting here this morning in a service that's preaching the Word of God and we're singing to the Lord and there are people here with joy and you may not have any peace at all. Even though you're a Christian. And it's found in the fact that you're not in a right relationship with God. The only source you can get that peace from is from God. Being around Christians can encourage you. It can bring joy. But peace comes from God. Trials, don't they rock your world sometimes? It talks about here in Philippians chapter 4 that we aren't to worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So again, notice what will happen. Okay, trials come into our lives. And I'm going to look at this next week, these two truths next week. Number one, you can be happy and not have peace, but number two, you can be sad and have peace. We'll look at that next week. You'll hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But here, again, the connecting point, when we go through trials, which may bring heaviness for a season, again, the Word of God teaches us, we have to learn to know what to do with that. A Christian who's walking with the Lord says, all right, I've got this trial. I need to take this off of my shoulder and put it on God. Casting all your care upon Him. Why do you do that? Because He cares about you. And so when we do that, then look what happens. Verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, again, through Christ Jesus. So what's he say here? I get the peace of God. It's not a man-made peace. It's not fabricated by man. This is a peace that God alone gives. And he gives it to those who take their trials. This is the exchange. And listen to this exchange. I think every one of us would think, wow, I ought to do that. I'll give God my trials, and he'll give me his peace. What an exchange. In fact, dear friend, if you're here and you've never maybe been in a religious service, or you've never heard the preaching of the Word of God, this is what the Bible teaches us, that Jesus Christ died on the cross because we're sinners. And He paid the debt of our sin, which the Word of God teaches us, is an eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Death versus eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what the Word of God teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is when we trust in Christ for salvation, we believe that Jesus died for us and trust in Him to get us to heaven, this is what happens. We give Him our sin and Christ gives us His righteousness. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve it at all. I'm a preacher of the gospel, been for over 20 years. I don't deserve it. I'm not going to get to heaven because I preached the gospel for 20 years. I'm not going to get to heaven because I've sinned less in the last 20 years than I did in the first 20 years. No. I'm going to get to heaven because He took my sin and gave me His righteousness. I don't deserve it. That's mercy. But one day He's going to say, enter in to the joy of living. Well, just like that exchange, He says here in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to eventually get to a whole sermon on this. He says, you give me your trials and I'll give you, here's the exchange, I'll give you my peace. It's the peace of God. So again, a Christian here who's trying to handle all the trials on their own and trying to get through life without asking the Lord for help, you don't have that peace. You got to exchange something. And what you exchange is the trials, the burdens of your heart, and He gives you the peace in return. Look at the 9th verse. Let's just drop down. It tells us how to think in the 8th verse after that. Then look at the 9th verse. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So it's this obedient walk. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have the peace that you have. It's probably because if you live a life of disobedience, you're constantly wondering when you're getting caught. You're constantly looking over your shoulder to see who's looking. You're constantly wondering who you might accidentally send that text to, whatever it might be. And there's no peace. Why? Because you're not in obedience. But here it says, if you do the right things, there'll be a peace that goes along with it. You know, when you do right, you don't have to look over your shoulder. You know, I've seen some of you drive. You've seen me drive too, haven't you? I remember one day with Pastor Terry. I always tell him myself, why don't I ever tell bad stories on you? I remember we were going to a sportsman's dinner. Do you remember this, Pastor Terry? Pastor Terry said, you ought to slow down. I looked at my speedometer. I was going 95 in a 55. Whew. Yeah, act like you've never done it. Well, probably a lot of you haven't. I can't see Bonnie and Gary. Anyway, Brother Dan can tell me stories. But anyway, let's move forward. I you know, all of a sudden, I immediately, he said that, I slowed down, went around the corner, and the lights lit up and got pulled over. Then I was only doing 75 to 55. You know what? When you're disobedient, you're looking. You're downloading Waze on your phone, so it tells you police are ahead. And because you're constantly looking, when you are in obedience, you don't have to be looking over your shoulder. And he says, this is what, and the peace of God, again, then the God of peace shall. This goes beyond just having the peace of God. You now have the God of peace with you. That's a step beyond. There really is a difference. And part of it is just the pathway you take. If you're constantly looking to bring people into your life that'll bring you joy, things into your life that'll bring you joy, going to events. Some people live from event to event, and if there is no event, there is no happiness. There's a totally different pathway, and it's through a relationship with God. Well, let's continue on here in this great book. But I want to bring out one other verse before we do, where it says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I love that verse. Isaiah 32:17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And then the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Let me give you some information might be helpful. Happiness comes more quickly than peace. And because we're in this mentality of wanting things now and wanting it immediately, sometimes we're tempted to go toward the flesh and things will make us happy versus going toward peace because it can take a longer period of time. For instance, the batter that gets up and hits the walk-off home run or the walk-off hit hits the winning basket at the buzzer. You know, there's an immediate, I mean, the body even responds. There's an immediate adrenaline. There's a joy that rushes through the body. I want you to know, peace isn't the same way. Because peace is actually something it's settled. You have to actually think about it a little bit. It takes some realization. In fact, you might walk off the court losing the game. The other team shot the winning shot. You walk off losing the game, but you have to stop and think, yeah, but I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm kept by the power of God. Who cares about the game? In comparison, because there really is a difference. So if you're looking for that quick gratification, that quick pleasure, so often you end up turning to the flesh and just trying to grab onto the happiness that it offers. And maybe even the pleasure of sin for a season. But if you're walking in the Spirit and in fellowship with God, sometimes you go, okay, yeah, that hurt. Boy, I wish we would have won. I wish we would have done better. I wish I would have done. But at the same time, you realize, but I've got God in my heart. And no one can take that from me. In fact, do you realize this? No one can take your peace. You can actually only give it away. With peace in my heart, no one can take that from me. But if I'm not careful the way I live my life, I might give it away for other things. In fact, if I enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, I've given away the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And so what we need to do is make sure we recognize we get on that right pathway. Peter and James both talk about there's no, you can have joy even in the midst of trials knowing this. And Peter says, I can have joy in the midst of trials knowing this. I'm kept by the power of God. So for a peaceful person, you have to think through it. You have to talk to yourself, communicate with yourself. You have to delight in the promises of the Scripture where the peace of God comes from. Turn with me now, if you would, back to the first chapter of Philippians, if you're away from there. And I want to just talk to you really briefly about there's a difference in the pursuit. And I'm going to try to keep this very brief. Amnon desired to have a relationship. Do you remember the young girl's name? With Tamar. Wow. He was enjoying life. It was all lining up. He had the relationship. And immediately after the pleasure was over, there was no peace and he despised her. Haman. I'm reading the story of Esther right now. Haman, boy, he goes from the highs to the lows. When things are going his way, he's happy. But when that moment's over, there's no peace. David, I'm sure when he saw that the events were working together, the kings are off to battle, he's back home, no one's watching David, but he's watching Bathsheba. There's pleasure in sin for a season. That joy, that happiness of having that relationship that he should not have had. This is what David says later in Psalm 38. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest. Neither is there any peace in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. There he is. He had happiness. But he didn't have peace because the pursuit's different. Where in the life of Paul, as he's writing, he says, you know what? There's really a difference. Paul comes to this conclusion. It really doesn't matter what happens to me because I'm not in the center of my world. God's at the center of his world, so whatever happens doesn't happen for him. It's supposed to happen for God so that God's glorified and so that the gospel is spread. You see, when we're at the center of our world, if something bad happens, or we get offended, or the event doesn't end up rain out and we don't end up having the event, man, our world just implodes. But someone who has God at the center of their world stops and thinks, okay, no matter what happens today, I'm still to glorify God. And no matter what happens today, I'm still to help to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is interesting. Paul is in prison writing to people in poverty. And the book's all about joy. Stop and think about that. Paul's in prison writing to people in poverty, and he's writing about joy. In fact, almost one out of every five verses is about joy or rejoicing. Peace. Let's look at an example of this very briefly, and I'm done. So if you don't look at it with me, I'm just going to keep on, okay? So let's all look at it, because I want to go too, okay? Look at the first chapter. Let's begin with verse number 12. Paul's in prison, remember? But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, and he's talking about the imprisonment, have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. You know what? If we're living for happiness alone, this is horrible, going to prison. Paul said, but I realize this happened not for me, but for the furtherance of the gospel. He kept his mind in the right direction. He kept his relationship with the Lord right, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest or revealed in all the palace and in all other places. I'm having a great time in prison. I'm getting to share the gospel all over the place in here. Look at verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Others are hearing about testimonies Paul's having in prison. It's making them more bold. Guess what? God is being glorified and the gospel's being spread. Paul's not moaning. I can't believe God's letting me sit here in prison. After all that I've done for him, now I'm in a Roman prison for 2 years. Now, if Paul was seeking happiness, that would be his attitude. But Paul is seeking for peace, so God's at the center, and everything happens in the center for God's glory and for the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul's saying, you know what, this is great. I'm getting to share the gospel with people I would have never met. I'm not encouraging you to go to prison, by the way. But Paul's saying, this is awesome. Don't worry about me. In fact, number one, I'm getting to share the gospel. Number two, other people are becoming more bold because they're hearing how it's going with me, and they're sharing the gospel. Look at verse 18. What then? Look at the end of the verse. Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Dear friend, there really is a difference. There's a difference between going to a peaceful place and having the God of peace in your heart. There's a difference between lining up things that will make you happy and living a relationship with God that will bring you peace. Are you enjoying the difference? Where are you? Do you have a relationship with God? Or is life all about lining up things to make you happy? Or are you a Christian And sadly, you have a relationship with God, but you don't. Meaning you're a child of God, but you're not enjoying the fellowship with God. Your friend, I want you to know, there's a difference between that happiness that the world has to offer and the peace that only God has to offer. What we need to start doing then is beginning to get to know the Lord and walk with Him and put God in the center. Remember when Brother Thompson came here, he said, every morning I get up and say, I choose God. Let's choose God. Let's pursue Him. Getting on the pathway that leads to peace from God alone. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one